Last Sunday morning, we started a study about giving all diligence, as that is something that the Lord requires of us in seeking and serving Him, that will be necessary for us to have eternal life. We started by looking at quite a few passages from the book of Proverbs that teach on that subject and warn us about slothfulness. As we find a lot of very graphic passages in Proverbs that warn us about what we would recognize as slothfulness or laziness, not a quality that any Christian should have, but rather we need to be diligent as God requires us to diligently seek Him. And believing that He rewards those who do so is part of that faith that we must have in order to please Him, without which it's impossible to please Him. So if we can't please Him without believing that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, if we don't have diligence in seeking Him, how can we please God? And of course, we recognize that that is a requirement of God, that we do seek Him. This is something that God teaches on in many verses. We finished last week actually looking at a passage in Romans 3, verses 9 through 11, which uses a quotation from Psalm 14, where God is looking for those who are seeking after Him. And that is something that He requires of all mankind, that we do so. Now, we want to continue in our study of the subject of giving all diligence this morning by looking at, or beginning to look at, what we are to apply diligence for. We need to be diligent in all things, as we'll see. But there are some particular things that the Lord directs us to be diligent about as His servants. And we see the spiritual application of these things. There is a spiritual end or purpose for our diligence. As we looked at several Proverbs last week and the description of a slothful man and of the things that that he might have, well, particularly the things he's not going to have because he's slothful, but also with what he does have and how it appears and the we had that saw that description of the dwelling place and the basically the yard of the house of the slothful man, how everything is how bad it looks and how unkempt or untended because of the slothfulness of the person that that owns that. That's not a good thing. And we'll actually see in this study that there are some spiritual reasons for us to be diligent, even in some of these things that involve material things. But ultimately, there is a spiritual purpose for all of this. So we're not just looking at, well, how to be, how to have a good work ethic in our pursuit of whatever our vocations are in this life. I mean, there are many people in this world that would look at things strictly from a secular standpoint on that. That's not what we are. That's not what God gives these teachings for. So everything that we're going to be studying about giving diligence is going to be ultimately in terms of how this fits or suits the will and purpose of our God. So let's look at some of these things that we need to be particularly mindful of applying diligence towards. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians to chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, and we want to look here at verses 1 through 3. In fact, we were not very long ago, just a couple of weeks ago, looking at this same area of the book of Ephesians when we were looking at God's purpose for His church, the spiritual purpose He has for His church. And we saw the prayer that that Paul was making in verses 14 through 21 of chapter 3, where he was praying for that God would fill all of His children with all of His fullness, and that all Christians would know breadth and length and depth and height of the love of Christ be filled with that. He was praying for that for all of his brethren. And then chapter 4 really is the application of what he was praying for. And we can pray for all of these things, and we should, but as we also mentioned last week, as the very first things we were looking at in our study of this, we have to know God's will to do it, and then we have to be a doer of his word, not a hearer only. But to know God's will and to do God's will requires diligence. It requires diligence in our coming to us to seek to know what the will of God is, what we call a study of his word, and also then applying that diligence in fulfilling it and keeping his commandments. We're not going to do what we don't know, but we're also not going to do what we do know if we're not diligent. We have to be diligent in all of that. Well, in chapter 3, as Paul was praying for his brethren to fully know the love of Christ and to be filled with all that fullness, well, is that going to happen for all of us merely or strictly by our praying that it will? We need to pray that, but we also need to do something, don't we? Paul was praying that God would do something in this, which is required. But is God going to, and he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think in this, as he says in chapter 3, verse 20, but is God going to fill us with all of his fullness if we are not diligently seeking him to seek him and fulfill his will? God requires that of us. So God's going to faithfully do his part, and he's going to be very diligent in that. But he requires of us to be diligent in doing our part in seeking him and doing his will. And so chapter 4 of Ephesians begins with this in verses 1 through 3. I therefore, why does he say therefore? Based on what he was just teaching about, that prayer from the last half of Ephesians chapter 3 that God is able to fulfill to fill us with all of his fullness, therefore, based on that, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, this word that's translated endeavoring there in verse 3, this is the Greek word spoudazo. It literally means to use speed, but not like driving. But this is a word that's pertains to effort, diligence, which is the way it's translated most of the time, or in this case, endeavoring. Well, if you're endeavoring to do something, what's the difference between that and being diligent towards it? I mean, that's a synonym, and it's a good translation. But here he says what we need to be applying diligence for. Well, based in knowing what the purpose of God is, that we would be filled with all of his fullness and fully know and have the love of Christ in our hearts, we need to then be diligent in seeking after that, for that to happen for each one of us individually and for all the rest of us together. So we are being beseeched to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Well, how are we going to walk that way without diligence? How can we walk worthy of the vocation that we've been called to without being diligent? And we have to have all lowliness and meekness with long suffering and forbearing one another in love to do this. But then he says endeavoring, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is directly involved with our seeking to have what was being prayed for in chapter 3 to actually happen for every member of the body of Christ. And he's going to continue that right on from verse 4 down through verse 16 and beyond. I mean, it's really going to The rest of the book of Ephesians is going to be application points of this, all of that. So if we had time right now, we could just verse by verse go through the rest of Ephesians, and we would have a lot of a lot down of what we're supposed to be diligent towards. The details are in here, but this is what we need to be seeking. But if we understand it properly, we'll see that this diligence that we're to apply is to be, it is all part of fulfilling the overall purpose that God has, that we be conformed to the image of Christ, that all of us reach that complete man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we have to endeavor or be diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace so that that can happen for all of us. If you're not being diligent about that for yourself and to help me, and I'm not doing that to be diligent myself and also to help you, how are we all going to get there together for that goal that he has? We have to all be diligent, endeavor this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. This is a verse that we should all know well. That same word, Greek word, spedazo, that was translated endeavoring in Ephesians 4, verse 3, is also used here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. But here it's going to be translated as study, which in the context here, this is what we're to give diligent towards. A study is a very proper translation if we understand the meaning of the word there, as far as what we are to give all speed or diligence towards. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Well, how much diligence do we need to have in order to show ourselves approved of God? That's going to require a lot of diligence. Now, in the context of this verse, what is that going to require? To be approved of God and a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I mean, how are we going to be approved of God if we're not keeping his word? How are we going to be not worthy of shame if we're not keeping his word? How are we going to rightly divide his word of the word of truth if we don't know his word? I mean, all of that is based in knowing and understanding the scriptures. Well, how does that come? And that's why we have to be hearers and doers. But to hear properly, we have to know God's word. We're not going to do what we don't know. How are we going to know the commandments of God without being diligent in our study of his word and seeking him there? I mean, this is part of the Great Commission, as we refer to it very often. It's in Matthew chapter 28. One of the versions of this Great Commission, as it's called, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, what are we told to do? He says, "Go ye therefore and teach." Well, that word teach is literally to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, how many people mentally put a period right there? I venture to say a lot. But is there a period there? And should we have? There's not one there on the page, and there shouldn't be one there in our minds. It continues in verse 20. The job isn't finished at that point where we have made disciples of all nations and baptized them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He says, teaching them, teaching whom? These disciples that are made, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, what's that going to require of us? If we're going to teach these disciples that we have made and baptized all things whatsoever Christ has commanded, what is that going to require of us? Can you teach somebody else to do something that you don't know or understand first? There's no way to do that. So in order for us to comply with or fulfill this commission here, which is a great one, we have to be able to teach, make disciples, baptize them, teach them all things that Christ has commanded We have to know His will fully. How much study is that going to require? A great deal. Now, this is the same pattern that Ezra followed. He was a priest of the Lord, and one that God gave the job to when he went back with the captives that returned from Babylon, and with the particular job of teaching those people the commandments of the Lord so they would follow it. So they were in captivity for 70 years. These were ones who had been in rebellion against God. He punished them by removing them from the land. But this was the remnant that was saved, the basket of good figs, that God gave hearts to know Him, and they came to repentance. And after 70 years of all that work of God to bring them to repentance, now He restores them to the land of Israel. But He sends Ezra the priest with them to teach them God's will so that they will know His word and do it, practice it. Because if they're not, then they're going to be right back in the same situation they were in before, won't they? And so Ezra had this job to do. And so as Ezra was going to do it, how was he going to teach all of the people of God that had returned from captivity in Israel what God's will was and to do it if he didn't know that himself? And if he weren't doing it himself. And that's why Ezra 7 and verse 10 says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." By the way, that word "seek" there in Ezra 7 and verse 10, it's the same word that's in Psalm 14 and verse 2, where it says the Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand and seek the Lord. And so we find that same word right here. This is what God is looking for in all of us. And for those of you that have been involved in our Sunday morning study, as we've been studying recently about King Josiah of Judah, that's the very same word that's used in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 in verse 3 regarding Josiah when he was 16 years old and he began to seek the God of David, his father. Same word. It's what God is looking for out of every one of us. It's what every one of us must do, which requires all diligence, as we've seen in the New Testament, how that word is used in as God's requirement for us. So we see this over and over again, Old and New Testaments. Ezra was very diligent in seeking the law of the Lord, so he could know it. He was going to teach that to all Israel, but he had to know that himself, and he wasn't going to be a hypocrite by knowing it and not doing it. He first learned it, did it, and then he taught others to do so. Well, how's that any different than what the Great Commission is for us concerning the commandments of Christ in the New Testament? We have to know those commandments, follow those commandments, and then teach those that are that come into Christ the same things. But we have to know that. It's for all of us to do. How much of His will does He desire and require of us to understand? All things whatsoever He's commanded us. How much study of His word does that require? Well, we can all ask ourselves and need to ask ourselves, do we know all the commandments of Christ? Do we know all of His will? If any of us are saying yes, we might need to take a great pause there before we say that. And really look at it more closely. Do we have more to learn? How are we going to get there? We're going to have to be very diligent. Now, can we learn? Here's another question. Can we learn all the commandments of Christ? And you know, I'm going to do my best as the Lord wills. But am I going to be able to personally teach all of you all the commandments of Christ from what we can do in Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights? Any one of us, I mean, we can't do that, any individual one of us or all of us together. We're not going to learn it all from strictly our times of coming together. This is a part of it, a necessary part of it, an important part of it. A great encouragement for us to study God's word together like this, to learn things that we can then seek after. But how are we going to learn all of the will of Christ if the only time that we ever crack open our Bibles or tap on it on our phones or whatever, if the only time we ever do that is when we come in here, and God forbid that anybody is tapping on their phones or something, doing something else right now instead of looking at the scriptures on it, but that's another problem. And anyway, young people have a great temptation that, and even not so young people. We all know who we are. And the last thing that needs to happen in the times that we do come together, that our minds are on something else, that we're doing something else other than studying God's word together, when we have this very small amount of time reserved to do that. We need to take every opportunity that the Lord presents us to have our minds fully set on learning his will and giving all diligence to it. But even if we do that in all of our assemblies all the time, is that enough in and of itself? If we're going to learn all of the will of Christ, we're all going to have to do a lot of daily study of his word. How many days a week is it God's will that we be growing spiritually? Every day, yes. Do we have a scripture for that? Well, we have several. One of them, because this, if we were now to go look at every scripture that puts together and proves the point that we need to be growing every day, we would exhaust the last 15 minutes here very quickly. But look at 2 Corinthians 4:16. This is a verse we've all heard many times. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, I personally would like to be able to hit the pause button on my aging process and have my outward man not to be perishing, decaying, growing older, getting weaker, whatever. How many of us would like to be able to stop that process and be able to hold things where they are right now, if not be able to go back the other way? Well, it's vain to even talk like that because we can't. I mean, we cannot stop the process. Every day that we live, we're getting older. And what's happening over time? We don't take a day off in the aging process physically. And the point of verse 16 there is to show the contrast between what's happening with us physically, which we have no control over. We can't do a thing about that. But what should be happening at the same time spiritually? Now, how foolish would it be when there's no way to delay the physical aging process that we're going through? We're going to get older and older. We're getting every day closer to our end of our time on this earth. Yet then we waste opportunity in that short amount of time to be able to grow spiritually. That would be very foolish. Day by day, we're growing weaker physically. But what should be happening with our inner man at the very same time? And he says, day by day. We need to be growing stronger in the inner man. So that is God's goal for us. Well, to grow stronger in the inner man every day, then how many trials are we going to have to go through? How many times a week? Once or twice? Or are we going to have daily trials? And it's a trial of what? Well, James chapter 1, of course, tells us it's our faith that's being tried. This is the process of our spiritual growth. In James 1, 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He's describing the growth process there. By the trying of our faith and overcoming the temptations that come there. The trying of our faith, where does that faith come from? Hearing God's word, Romans 10, 17. So if we're going to have to be able to grow day by day, to undergo this process, we have to have trials on our faith day by day. But then how much should we be hearing of God's word in order to have that faith to be tried day by day? Can we study God's word or hear a little bit of it, a 30-minute lesson or 45 minutes or an hour, 3 days a week, and that's all we get there, but we're going to be growing day by day in our inner man like we should? That's not going to happen that way. For us to grow day by day through this process he's describing, we need to be learning more of his will every day. How many days a week should we be searching his word? We need to be doing that every day that we're alive. And so that's what we need to be applying our diligence towards. That's what he's directing us to do in 2 Timothy 2:15 and all of these other verses. He doesn't have to use the same word in every one of these verses where he's teaching this process. He uses the word enough and applies it to this process that we can see all these other scriptures that are describing it as well. And we recognize this is what we need to be applying our diligence towards. We need to be very diligent every day to learn more of the will of God. This is what he's also was praying for, the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1, in verses 9 through 11. This parallels very nicely what's in Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. But Colossians 1, 9 through 11 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness." I mean, it's a lot of the things in those three verses that cover what's in Ephesians 3 from verses 14 all the way down and deep into chapter 4. We see some of the same words used in both passages there in Ephesians and Colossians in the same context. Walking worthy of the vocation that we've been called to, we saw in Ephesians 4:1. Well, here he speaks of our walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Well, how are we going to walk worthy of him into all pleasing if we are not observing, learning and observing all the commandments that he has given to us to fulfill that great commission? So how much of his will do we need to, how much knowledge of his will do we need to be filled with, and how much wisdom and spiritual understanding? All. Well, how are we going to get there if we're not being diligent about that every day? This is what it requires. This is how we need to seek God. And this is what we need to be diligent towards, learning his will and then doing it. So that we can walk worthy of him unto all pleasing and do all of his commandments. Hebrews chapter 4, let's turn there to verses 9 through 11, Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. He says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." This is after he had given that generation that came out of Israel, that came out of Egypt in their bondage, that fell away from the Lord into unbelief. And the Holy Spirit swore in his wrath that they would not enter into his rest. That goes back to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, particularly when he started that particular context that Hebrews 4 verses 9 through 11 is finishing up. But we need to, he says, labor. That's that same word, spudazo, there, that we have to give diligence to enter into that rest, lest we fall after the same example of unbelief. And to see how this ties together with what we've already looked at in Ephesians 4 and 2 Timothy 2 and elsewhere in our study today, in Hebrews chapter 3, when he was introducing this context and giving that example of unbelief of that generation of Israel that came out of Egypt. He, in chapter 3 and verses 12 and 13, told us what we have to do in order to not be deceived and depart from the living God. He says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So you want another text that shows us how this needs to be a daily process? Well, here it is. While it is called today. Well, what day does that leave out? Any day that we live is called today. And he says, while it is called today, here's what we need to be doing. Taking heed to ourselves and exhorting one another daily. He says it again, daily. And he continues that right on down through verse 11 of chapter 4, where he says, labor, let us labor, that giving diligence to enter into his rest. That ties in with very well with Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, where he was saying to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. As we are seeking to grow in the image of Christ ourselves, but what we saw with the Great Commission, what we see in Ephesians, what we saw in Colossians, what we see here, in any of these places, is this all limited to what we are doing personally in our own seeking of God to grow? Or is it also going beyond that and involving what we have to do to try to encourage all of us together to get to there, to reach that goal? And we have to give all diligence. How much diligence does it require to get there ourselves? But then to do that, to help each other, we all have to be giving that same diligence towards this for all of our sakes. And the Lord is emphasizing that over and over again in all these passages. 2 Peter chapter 1, this is a great passage about our spiritual growth. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 11. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, as we saw, whether we look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 18 and 19 about our knowing the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of Christ and being filled with all the fullness of God, or if we look at Ephesians 4, 11 to 13 about keeping, coming to that unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God until we all come to that measure, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, or whether we look at Romans 8, 29, 28 and 29, where God's purpose is for us to be conformed to the image of his Son, we can look at passage after passage that describe the goal that we have spiritually to be in the image of Christ, to be filled with all his fullness, to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be to that complete man. Those are all the same thing. And here he says to be partakers of the divine nature. He's describing it using a different phrase or terms there, but it's the same goal. There's no difference between being a partaker of his nature, being filled with all his fullness, or being conformed to his image. That's all the same purpose. That comes by our the knowledge of him, he says. So how important is it for us to know the will of God that he's given to us through Christ, all things that pertain to life and godliness, and all these promises whereby we can be partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust? The only way is to know his will and to know it fully. How much effort is that going to require? Well, that's where we get to verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The emphasis on diligence there. Here's what the goal is, as he introduces it in verses 2 through 4. But here's what we have to give all diligence toward to in order to fulfill that goal. And if we want details, which we need, look at the details there. We need to give all diligence to add to our faith virtue. Well, we have to first give all diligence to have that faith and then add virtue to that faith. And then step by step, all of those things up through love. So do we desire to know the details of what we need to be diligent in seeking? Well, here's a lot of it right there in those verses in 2 Peter 1. The very particular details of what we need to be diligent towards and growing in day by day. In chapter 3 of the same book, verses 13 and 14, he says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless." So is this world going to come to an end? That's what the main subject of 2 Peter 3 is about. But we're looking for that new heavens and new earth, that new eternal dwelling place in heaven with God. But then what do we need to do if that's what we're looking for and recognize that this world's going to end and our time on it? We need to be giving all diligence, he tells us, to be prepared for our time when the Lord is going to bring us into judgment, when our time on this earth and the opportunity to learn his will and to do it will then be gone. We need to give all diligence to that right now in order for us to be ready so that we can fulfill his will and then be prepared to spend eternity with him. But there's no other way that's going to happen without our giving all diligence to it. This morning is an opportunity, and we can still call it morning for the next minute or so, but this morning, if you have the need to begin to do, to seek the Lord and to do his will, what we saw a while ago, this begins with making that decision to be his follower, his disciple, and then repenting. You need to be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of your sins, and then you'll be added to his church. You'll have your name written in heaven, your sins washed away, and have hope of eternal life. And that's the beginning process of your applying diligence and seeking the Lord and fulfilling his will. And then we have to all run that race to be conformed to the image of Christ. But if you need to be baptized into Christ this morning for the remission of your sins, we're encouraging you to do that right now. If you need to return to the Lord, if you are a Christian, if you've gone astray from him, if you've not been diligently seeking him as you should, and you need to repent of that, or you need the prayers and encouragement of your brethren here, this is an opportunity for you also. So anyone that needs to come, please do so right now as we stand together and sing.